This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brianna Willis.
And I'm Brandon Isle, and this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, we have a lot of talent in eastern Idaho, and some of it is on display this weekend, starting with a local theater performing It's a Wonderful Life. But it's not a regular play.
Because we are representing a radio studio from the 1940s, the normal movement and the normal amount of characters has been reduced. All of the characters in the entire show are being played by five people.
Plus, cybersecurity is huge in the business world, and some BYU Idaho students are getting real-life experience in fixing problems.
It was really exciting because as we're in this class, we're learning about security holes and other things and just being able to find one in real life and see the process.
How else students are getting involved in cybersecurity.
And the story behind a local family putting on a live nativity every Monday night in December.
These stories and more coming up in Tell Me About It. But first, the news.
From the newsroom at BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope. A 21-year-old Wyoming man could spend the rest of his life in prison for kidnapping a 95-year-old Casper woman, putting her in the trunk of her car, stealing the vehicle, leading police on a pursuit, and failing to tell arresting officers she was in the trunk. The woman was bound and in the trunk for about 6 hours before Kyle McCabe Martin of Riverton asked someone to tell police the woman was in the car, which had been impounded. The victim was hospitalized for several weeks. K2TV reports the woman's granddaughter testified the March ordeal has left her once independent grandmother depressed, confused, traumatized by nightmares, and barely self-sufficient. Prosecutors say an investigation determined Martin targeted the victim. District Judge Catherine Wilking sentenced McCabe Thursday to 75 years to life for aggravated kidnapping. Officials say three men in a three-day period have tried to pass through Boise Airport security with loaded handguns in their carry-on luggage. The Idaho Statesman reports the Transportation Security Administration warned travelers in a news release yesterday that it's prohibited to bring a loaded firearm on an airplane in your carry-on luggage. Officials say the first gun was discovered at 5:40 a.m. Tuesday when a TSA officer found a .45 caliber Smith & Wesson pistol loaded with six rounds. At 8:30 a.m. Wednesday, a passenger tried to carry on a .40 caliber Glock 23 firearm loaded with 11 rounds. At 5:15 a.m. Thursday, a TSA officer discovered a 9mm LH9 MK2 semi-automatic pistol loaded with 13 rounds. In each case, security discovered the guns on an X-ray machine and notified Boise police. Each man could face a civil penalty of up to $9,800. The Pocatello City Council approved a hands-free ordinance at its meeting last night. Council members approved the new ordinance prohibiting the use of cell phones or any mobile device while operating a motor vehicle inside the city. Exceptions are provided for using a device with voice-operated or hands-free mode as a navigational aid or emergencies. Pocatello Mayor Brian Blad told us they hope to decrease the number of crashes due to people on their cell phones while driving.
We believe, anyway, that there will be fewer accidents. We believe people will be paying attention to the road a little bit better than what they have been in the past. We've banned these from happening when you're sitting at a stoplight, when you're doing anything that you're, when you're behind the wheel of a car, we want you to be behind the wheel of the car.
Violators of the ordinance will be fined $80 per offense for the first three offenses. A fourth violation in 2 years is punishable as a misdemeanor. The ordinance will go into effect December 12th. Idaho Falls passed a similar ordinance in October. The Idaho Fish and Game Department began its yearly donations of confiscated game meat to local food banks. After each case is finalized through the court system and with a judge's approval, the department is able to donate edible meat to food banks, church groups, and Helping Hand organizations. Most of the meat donated is confiscated in the fall, so donations usually increase during the holidays, allowing some to have more food on the table during the Christmas season. Several recent wildlife violation cases involving multiple animals taken illegally have resulted in hundreds of pounds of meat going to those in need. To receive game meat, an individual must qualify as indigent and sign a waiver acknowledging that they understand the meat is non-inspected wild game. You can contact local food banks for donated wild game. Tomorrow is the first ever swimathon in Driggs. Katie McNamara, the executive director of Teton Valley Aquatics, says the swimathon is to raise money and awareness for water safety education in the community.
So as a state, Idaho has one of the highest drowning rates for kids ages 1 through 5 in the country. We're working really hard to break down the barriers to accessing water safety education and just the joy of swimming.
McNamara says they have partnered with the Jackson County Recreation Facility and Teton School District to sponsor 140 kids to take 5 weeks of swim lesson free of charge.
And about 75% of these kids who have signed up have never participated in a swim lesson before or had the opportunity to go swim.
At the swimathon, people will swim laps, as many laps as possible in 30 minutes, around the Jackson Hole Recreation Facility pool in Jackson Hole. For those who don't want to swim laps, there will be also a game of sharks and minnows and a cannonball competition at 10 a.m. And that afternoon will be free swimming for families and children. To register for the events and to swim for free, go to TetonValleyAquatics.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope.
Thanks, Alec. This is Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Brianna Willis. Tonight, we have a chance of snow in Rexburg and patchy, freezing fog in the morning throughout eastern Idaho. Lows tonight are in the single digits of teens. Highs tomorrow in the 20s to lower 30s.
Right now it's 25 in Rexburg, 27 in Idaho Falls, 33 in Pocatello, and 18 in Jackson.
The Melodares and Melody Men Choir is presenting its annual Christmas concert, Joy in the Morning. Guest artists include the Nurture Harps and vocalist Megan Knudsen. The free concert is Sunday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at St. Anthony Stake Center at 247 East, 400 North.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, a film classic takes the stage, but as a radio drama.
Because we are representing a radio studio from the 1940s, the normal movement and the normal amount of characters has been reduced. All of the characters in the entire show are being played by five people.
And BYU Idaho students are getting real-world experience in cyber tech. This is Tell Me About It.
Michael Bublé Christmas, Celine Dion's These Are Special Times, Josh Groban's Noel,
Mary nodded, ba-rum-bum-bum-bum.
Hear all the best Christmas albums right here on BYU Idaho Radio.
I played my drum for him.
Cybersecurity is one of the most important things for any business and anyone who has a password to a website.
BYU Idaho students are learning firsthand how to help fix holes in security. Student reporter Rachel Winder tells us about it.
A BYU Idaho student was using a password security app when he noticed a bug. Sometimes Michael Muir would open the app LastPass, and it would log him in without using his password or fingerprint. Muir works on campus at the tech help desk. When he found the bug, he wanted to make sure it wasn't just on his phone. So he talked to his coworker, Calvin Garrett, and had Garrett use the app on his phone. The same thing happened.
If anyone got a hold of our phones, if they were unlocked, they basically could use the bug to get in and have access to everything.
Wow.
It has what website it goes to, and literally they could go and change all of your passwords and have even...
And then delete them out of your app so you don't have them anymore, but now they have the login information.
Garrett contacted LastPass's help desk immediately.
I just told them that they had a security vulnerability that allowed you to get into the app without the password.
That got the help desk attention, and they received a response the next day. Soon, their email made its way up to the app's developer's inbox.
It was really exciting because as we're in this class, we're learning about security holes and other things and just being able to find one in real life and like see the process.
That was how two BYU Idaho students detected and helped patch a security vulnerability in an app that's supposed to help keep users' passwords secure. 2 weeks after they first notified LastPass, the developers told Garrett and Muir the bug was fixed. When they pulled out their phones to show me, the update had already taken place. Most of the world sees cybersecurity as nerdy young adults hacking away 50% through the firewall. But as we see with Muir and Garrett, it's more about carefully studying out vulnerabilities in a system and fixing them right away. There's a high demand for cybersecurity experts right now. Every year in the U.S., more than 40,000 cybersecurity jobs go unfilled. A few weeks ago, NIATEC, an information protection association, hosted a competition to help students get hands-on experience in cybersecurity. NIATEC funds students' MBA at the Idaho State University and gives them real-world experience. And in return, the students work for the government for 2 years protecting secured information. I talked with Jacob Patterson, the project manager of the competition, who graduated in communications from BYU Idaho.
The people in our program, we have a really wide and diverse range of people. So we have people who have IT backgrounds, engineering backgrounds, the type of people that you would expect here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have someone like me who's a communication background,
yeah.
You know, with an emphasis on public relations.
Right.
We have a guy who was an art major and
wow, yeah.
in photography. Uh-huh. So he's a photographer. And we have people with just a lot of different backgrounds coming together and attacking cybersecurity from all different aspects.
The aim of NIATEC's competition is to give students real experience in defending a company's information. This year, the theme was a spin-off of the TV show Stranger Things. The competitors had to protect Hawkins National Laboratory from hackers, as well as set up security plans and policies. Idaho National Laboratory also held a cybersecurity competition last week. I mentioned the diverse backgrounds of the ISU NIATEC team to INL's spokesperson, Misty Benjamin, and asked her about advantages of a team like that.
We think that when you're looking at a large challenge, looking at it from a lot of different perspectives is extremely helpful. So the diversity of perspective when you're trying to solve a difficult challenge is really something that makes a big difference in your ability to think outside of the box and come up with solutions that maybe people with a less diverse background set wouldn't find.
Cybersecurity-related jobs are some of the highest in demand right now, and most don't even get applied for. Michael Muir and Calvin Garrett, the two students who found the vulnerability in LastPass, say they hope to go into cybersecurity when they graduate. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Rachel Winder.
Rachel, you talked to a lot of people about this. It really is like a big deal. You went to the NIATEC competition. Tell me about it.
When I got into the building, I felt like I was entering this highly secured area. I talked to them beforehand, and they said I could come in with my recording equipment. But everywhere I went, people would point at my recording equipment and ask me why that was there and what I was doing there. So yeah, it was a very secured place. NIATEC is about securing information and making sure that information doesn't get out to people that can't have it. So that made sense why they were very hesitant about me and my presence there. But it's a really big deal because, like most experts I talked to in the story, they think that cybersecurity is one of the biggest or highest in demand jobs right now. And that's clear across the United States. There's a lot of jobs that are unfilled every year in cybersecurity because we just don't have the talent, we don't have the skills. So we wanted to really get people more technical skills in it so that they can be prepared in the professional field.
Great. Thank you.
This weekend, you can watch a play and listen to a radio drama all at the same time. Rexburg's Community Theater is putting on a special rendition of It's a Wonderful Life. Student reporter Bailey Escamilla tells us about it.
This week, I got to talk to the Bailey family from It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to WBFR's Playhouse of the Air. We thank you for braving the weather this Christmas Eve, and you'll be glad you did when you hear the story we have for you tonight. It's a Wonderful Life.
Don't expect to see a traditional play when you head to the Romance Theater. Stage manager Kelsey Alsalmo Wright says the show takes a new twist on radio storytelling and classic theater plays.
It's a normal stage. It's going to be a traditional play in the sense that they're going to be showing emotion. There's going to be some movement. However, because we are representing a radio studio from the 1940s, the normal movement and the normal amount of characters has been reduced. All of the characters in the entire show are being played by 5 people.
You heard that right. All 35-plus characters are played by 5 people. The 2 main characters, George and Mary Bailey, voice the younger and older versions of themselves, and the 3 other cast members voice all the other characters.
He's done so much for all of us, more for me than I remember.
I remember all the times George would stay late after work and not ask for a cent. The world needs more like George Bailey.
George Bailey never thinks about himself.
One of the actors with the most distinct voice is Mr. Potter, the main villain played by August Schmidt. Schmidt says for him, Mr. Potter was the easiest voice to get into character for, and that Mr. Potter adds something special to the play.
My all-time favorite character has to be Mr. Potter, just because he's such a great villain character. He makes these awful choices, and with Mr. Potter, it's almost...
You just get this old man, and he's warped and frustrated, and after a while, it just became so easy to slip in and out of and have fun, you know.
Another way that the live radio show is different from a traditional play is that it incorporates commercials into it, little jingles that seek to sell fake products. Seth Daybow, who plays Harry Bailey and other characters, says that this makes the play more fun.
A lot of people, when they watch the movie, some people have the idea that it's a sad story about George, but in this version we have peppy little commercials, we have fun, we try and have fun with each other.
The radio play allows people to travel back in time to 1945 New York. Joe Eaton, who plays George Bailey, says with such a minimalistic production, it brings a small town feeling that It's a Wonderful Life and Rexburg call for.
It's such a small town feel kind of a play. Most plays are extravagant, they have different scenes and whatnot. This is all in one take and with just a few people in it. And so just being able to get the raw emotion from it, I think, is the most exciting part and the thing to look forward to the most.
And of course, with all its changes, it doesn't forget to teach the message that no man's life is unimportant or unfulfilled if you have friends. Madison Barton says, come prepared to learn that lesson.
If you pay attention to the story, I think there's a lot to get out of it. So be ready to focus and listen and try to learn something.
It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, is playing at the Rexburg Romance Theater tonight and tomorrow, and next Monday, Friday, and Saturday. All times at 7 p.m. The play costs $6 for children from 3 to 17 and $8 for those who are 18 and up. To listen to our full interview with the director of the play, check it out on our podcast feed and on our Facebook page. Just like and follow BYU Idaho Radio. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Bailey Escamilla.
Tonight we have a chance of snow in Rexburg and fog throughout eastern Idaho. Western Wyoming will see mostly cloudy skies.
Right now it's 25 degrees in Rexburg, 27 in Idaho Falls, 33 in Pocatello, and 15 degrees in Jackson.
The Sounds Choir Christmas concert, He Is Born, is Sunday, December 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the North Stake Center, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at 955 Memorial Drive in Idaho Falls. Please join the choir to begin your Christmas season on an uplifting note. Admission is free.
Coming up, a local family is lighting the world one live nativity at a time.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Where you can go to see this touching nativity.
Plus, in our Media Matters segment this week, we talk about digital subscriptions. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
BYU Idaho Radio's Tell Me About It is a half hour of local and regional news done locally.
With winter rapidly approaching,
BYU Idaho provides students with free tutoring.
The creation for Kidsburg came from Daniel Torres, the economic development.
Tune in this Friday afternoon at 4 on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM. Michael Bublé Christmas, Celine Dion's These Are Special Times, Josh Groban's Noel,
Mary nodded.
Hear all the best Christmas albums right here on BYU Idaho Radio.
I played my drum for him.
You're listening to Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle, and this is our Media Matters segment. I'm here with Michelle Mead, our Media Matters guru. How are you, Michelle?
I am feeling so good being a guru.
Yes, this is a great thing. Today we're going to talk about subscriptions from magazines and newspapers to what we're watching on TV. What trends are you seeing out there?
So this is such an interesting area because everything's starting to go online. And we're relying more and more online for our newspaper information, our TV information, pretty much everything. But here's the problem is a lot of us are used to getting it all for free.
Yeah.
And because of that, like newspapers, I think all of us have seen the massive decline. It's like a massive hemorrhage. But if you look at the weekday circulation for U.S. dailies in 2016, so this is 2 years ago, they had been declining for the 28th consecutive year. That's according to Pew. So I'm guessing that that's probably 30 years of decline, which is a long period of time to be going into decline. And in 2016, the circulations were at their lowest number since 1945. So this is an interesting thing for newspapers, and they're closing down all over the place. But those that want to stay have decided to go for digital subscriptions.
Right.
And, you know, in 2012, they did a number of surveys trying to find out how much they could charge. And most of us didn't want to pay anything because we were used to getting everything free.
Yeah. Especially with TV news. That's always been a free model.
Right.
We get our whether we were paying for cable, but we'd get our local channels, or we can get the local channels on their bunny ears or whatever. And that was always free. And on the internet, it was free.
As long as you had advertising, you know, we feel like that's kind of a reasonable price to pay a little bit of our attention time. But now it's changing quite a bit. In 2012, most people weren't willing to pay for anything, but now it's increased. And the average that for the few Americans that are subscribing, is they're willing to pay about $10 per month for their newspaper digital subscriptions.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem like too much.
It doesn't seem like too much. And it's taken us a while to be willing to pay for something that isn't as tangible. So they have to offer all these gimmicks.
Right.
And that's one of the things that's still going on. You can get Spotify if you do New York Times for a year, or I think the other one is Washington Post. You can be partnered with Hulu. So you get Hulu and the Washington Post for a year for, you know, a certain amount of money per month. So
you mentioned Hulu. I think pay TV has been in drastic changes. Just a few years ago, what, like 2010, everybody subscribed to cable or satellite.
Yeah.
And now they're bleeding millions and millions of subscribers every year. I think this year alone, 33 plus million have said goodbye, cable, goodbye.
Yeah.
Satellite. Yeah. And they're picking up things like Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah. And Netflix, which grew, I mean, it's 137 million subscribers at the moment. And I think you were looking up, didn't it, that said that it was a lot outside the U.S. So that's starting to grow to an even wider audience, which has its pluses and minuses,
yeah.
I think.
I know the landscape for digital TV, or they call it OTT, over-the-top TV, is going to drastically change when Disney gets into the game with their Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I know my family's kind of anticipating what that might be and deciding, do we stick with Netflix or are we going to jump ship and go to Disney? And,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people, especially families, are going to be in that boat too.
A load of them. I think we've got kind of a five-year span ahead of us. I mean, things are working so fast that maybe it's only 2 years, but before we start to see some kind of consolidation, I mean, I believe that if you're a cable provider, you really would want to start pulling some of these streaming services in. Otherwise, why would we be paying for cable and Netflix and Disney and Hulu and whatever else, Amazon? And I'm not sure, I know for me, I don't want to be putting out money in all these different places. I'd rather have it concentrated.
So maybe the cable companies will say, instead of 200 channels, you can get five packages.
Streaming.
Yeah, streaming packages. That'd be an interesting thing, and I think people might
I wonder if
that.
It will go into that. I do think that the model for the future is where we have to pay for pretty much everything we get, and that's not that different from the past. It's just so we've got this 20-year span where we've had everything for free that we'll have to get our minds around, I guess.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what really happens and what we're willing to pay for that. I mean, entertainment's big in everybody's lives, and we have to give up something, whether it's our time watching ads or we want to skip the ads. We've got to pay a little bit more on YouTube or whatever we're subscribing to. All right, Michelle Mead, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In all the hustle and bustle of Christmas activities, local kids from Burton spend their Monday nights putting on a nativity Christmas pageant for the community.
Student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler has their story.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Though the air is chilly, our hearts are warm as families gather to a local Idaho farm and watch children tell us the story of what Christmas is really about.
O little town of Bethlehem.
The audience joins the cast singing Away in a Manger. Mary, played by Betty Powell, rides in on the 28-year-old donkey named Simon, led by Joseph, played by Nick Roberts. As they place their baby Jesus into the manger, the angels are in the distance singing Joy to the World. One of these children, Ella Hansen, one of the narrators, told me how she loves to help out the Ritchie family by doing these performances. This nativity pageant is played by children 4 years and older and many live farm animals. Janice Ritchie of Burton puts us on at her farm with a well-constructed stable scene in her front yard surrounded by her farm animals. She told me about how it all got started.
We had some friends who had done, they didn't do it like this, but they just put out a couple animals and Mary and Joseph in the middle, and then on Christmas Eve they'd invite their friends and somebody would read it out of the Bible, and so then they started using our animals. Then our grandson passed away, and the neighborhood, everybody was so good. That's when we started. In his honor.
She has been doing this since 2003. Her grandson, Dallin Hartline, was 6 years old when he passed away. Ritchie said that he loved animals and would have been one of the first to volunteer to participate in this pageant. Ritchie says that the kids really enjoy serving their community by giving them a non-commercial way to celebrate Christmas. They really just love having fun together. They do two performances a night on Monday nights at 6:15 and at 7. And a special performance Sunday the 23rd. They also provide some light refreshments at the end. Performances will go until Christmas Eve. You can find the full schedule and address on our website linked to this story. Don't miss out on this opportunity to enjoy a family night out at the Ritchie Farm, filled with the warmth of Christmas spirit and some hot cocoa. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
Jessica, you join me live in the studio now. They put this nativity on every week, and they actually did a special show for you so you could do this story. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so unfortunately we missed the Monday show this week. And so I was talking to Janice, and she said that, she's like, oh, let me just, you know, text some kids really quick and get them together, and we'll put a little practice performance for you so you can see what everything's about. And so, yeah, last night, me and my other coworker, Bailey, went down and they put this amazing show for us, and it was so wonderful.
And the story behind it, how they kind of got started, is just touching, that they would decide to do this after one of the children had died.
Yes, and you can definitely tell in the way that they just love Sister Ritchie. They were just, you know, as they're leaving, bye Sister Ritchie, thank you so much. And as they're walking around, they have these big smiles on their faces. And just really love what they're doing.
It's pretty cold out there right now. How do they stay warm during the shows?
They are definitely all bundled up with hats and scarves. I mean, they have like their costumes on top. Yeah, it was cold, but it didn't show. They were so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about showtimes again.
So our showtimes, we're still working on putting it up on the website. But if you go to our Facebook page on the post for the story, it's on there.
Okay. Just like BYU Idaho Radio.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Jessica.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. We'll be back again next week with more local news and interviews.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nelson. Find this show and our other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.